Let's get underway now with our broadcast partners coming to the table, to these microphones, to be able to explain to us some of the details behind the headlines that we will be discussing on this hour and a half program of Prophecy Today. First out of Washington, D.C., Colonel Bob McGinnis, and he is available to help us look at geopolitical activities across the world. His experience working for many years in strategic planning at the Pentagon, having traveled to all of the war zones around the world that we'll talk about, and of course serving in the military, a graduate of West Point, but also being an analyst for the different communications outlets. For example, the Fox News Channel was one of his major sources, and they used him as an analyst and to be able to help them understand exactly what we use Bob for, the events that are unfolding in our world. So he brings to this table a vast experience and helps us to be able to get into more details behind these headlines, as I've said. Bob, you sent a note to me relating the situation there in North Korea. You brought out several points in this email to me that people need to consider as they think about what was to be a launch of a missile by the North Koreans, which would enhance their capability of being able to bring some type of a warhead, possibly a nuclear warhead, even to the United States of America. But it was a total failure, a humiliation, basically, for the North Koreans. Talk to me about it. I mean, even though it failed, this is still of much concern to world leaders, isn't it?
Well, it is, Jimmy. North Korea is a very isolated country, a country that has used military might and these exhibitions of missile launches and testing of nuclear devices underground to get attention. It gets the attention for political purposes, primarily internally, and then it turns around and tries to blackmail the West. Now, it could be at this point that with the change of leadership from Kim Il-sung to Kim Jong-il, who is the 28-year-old son of the dead dictator, that this is about demonstrating he's not afraid of the West and those around him, but some sort of indication that perhaps it's time to reconcile, to negotiate. You know, it could really go two ways. It could go in the very bad direction, like it was back in 09 and 10, when they became very aggressive. The North Koreans, they sunk a South Korean ship. They infiltrated. They were doing all sorts of very provocative acts, like testing a nuclear weapon. And then you compare that with other times when they were more conciliatory. I think if we can find the path to more conciliatory actions, then maybe we can break the facade that they put up and somehow begin to move that regime in the right direction. Certainly what we've done in the past hasn't seemed to work. So, you know, some innovative thinking is well due here.
Now, as I understand it, Bob, the Obama administration has basically brought to an end this food deal that they had put in place with North Korea because of this launch of this missile. And is that going to enhance a relationship or just deteriorate the relationship?
Well, they announced that really a couple weeks ago. This deal was made, you know, weeks ago as well. So it was only about 16 days after the deal was consummated there in North Korea that, you know, they decided, by the way, we're going to launch this missile. And, of course, we called them on that, and we said this is really a ruse for, you know, checking a ballistic missile technology that you are trying to sell to others and then, of course, eventually could reach the United States. So it is problematic. You know, if you're in the Obama administration, you don't really have very many things you can do. You've already sanctioned them in just about every front. The only alternative that we have, really, and it's not much of one, is to attack and to remove the regime, and that would be incredibly expensive, bloody, and spend a lot of treasure, and for what? You know, so it's a matter we really need to look at other alternatives. Perhaps if you want to go the tough way, you can put all these sanctions in place, declare it a terrorist organization, stop all shipments through embargo. But I don't know that that's going to change the regime much. And besides, China and Russia just won't go along with that.
Now, because of this failure and the embarrassment worldwide, could they possibly then revert to doing another nuclear test of some type?
Well, there's all, you know, certainly satellite imagery suggests that they're digging in a similar location that they've done the last two. And so that's the speculation that, yeah, they are preparing for that. Keep in mind, this is the 100th anniversary of the founding dictator, the grandfather of Kim Jong-un, and this next few days. And so that's why the speculation is, you know, you've got a missile failure. You know, perhaps they will use a nuclear test to demonstrate that they're still, you know, got, you know, some prowess there, that they aren't afraid of the West, that they are a proud people, and so forth. The message is internally, you know, is really who they're trying to suit. And, of course, the elite have to feel good about themselves. It's not what, you know, the United States thinks about them. It's not what the South Koreans think about them that really matters.
Well, and indeed, is North Korea still a danger to the world? Doesn't the world have to keep a watch on this?
North Korea has a 1.1 to a million person army. Certainly South Korea watches them because they're very aggressive. And, you know, the armistice may be in place, but they haven't stopped shooting people. They continue to proliferate, to man and arm, you know, rogues around the world. So these are things that are hard to ignore, and that's why I think we're doing what we can, but, you know, the options are becoming pretty slim.
Yes, absolutely. What about Iran? It comes out now that there is a joint military exercise taking place, the normal, regular Iranian army with the Revolutionary Guard. They look like they're gearing up for a possible preemptive attack by Israel, maybe. Or what is the reason for this joint military exercise?
Well, I would argue that it's fairly typical of armed forces to try to do joint operations just because, you know, doing single service operations, all Army, all Navy, and so forth, really isn't how you fight wars. And so you have to, you know, figure out where the connection is between one service and another and work on what we call interoperability. The fact that they're dealing with their special forces, their Quds forces, their Revolutionary Guards, and the regular forces, that just means that there has to be some sort of cooperation. At some point, the battle's handed off from one to the other and back and forth. So, you know, this is also about making statements. Of course, the negotiations are going on in Istanbul this weekend. You've got the staging and the public show of military prowess by the Iranians, which is supposed to communicate to the Persian Gulf region that we're not afraid of the big bad wolf United States and, you know, all the Arabs that are lined up behind them. And, of course, we're doing basically the same thing by sending the Eisenhower and the Lincoln into the Persian Gulf, aircraft carriers with their battle groups, you know, making a statement that, oh, by the way, we are serious about, you know, these negotiations, and if by chance they continue to go in the wrong direction, there is the military option.
Talk to me about the situation as far as Syria and the peace agreement. I mean, just give me maybe 30 seconds because I want to ask you another question. But in reality, is anything going to happen there?
No, I've been saying that for weeks, Jimmy. The Syrian peace plan that Kofi Annan brokered, you know, it only in part has been fulfilled. Basically, Bashar Assad got what he wanted accomplished. He moved back. There is a ground force from the United Nations in there to kind of monitor. We've seen this before in other venues like Lebanon and so forth. I don't really think that Assad's going to really back down, and much less that the Syrian rebels, as they're being equipped by the Arabs, are going to do anything but continue to snipe at Assad.
Yeah, I will stay on top of that. Talk with David Dolan in just a moment about the perspective from Israel as it relates to the situation in Syria. Maybe 15 seconds or so. It was 9 years ago, April the 9th, 2003. They toppled the statue of Saddam Hussein there in Baghdad. But Iraq is not really in the shape they ought to be, are they?
No, Iraq is, well, for Arab countries, and given what they've gone through, they're not totally a basket case. But when the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines toppled that tower statute of Saddam, they were making a very clear statement. And, of course, now that Iran really controls Baghdad, it really makes the geopolitics of that part of the world very different and a challenge for all of us today.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an ongoing story. Everything I talk with Bob McGinnis about is an ongoing story. That's why we keep bringing him back to keep us informed and helping us to understand these events. Colonel Bob McGinnis from Washington, D.C., with a look at geopolitical activities. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jimmy.